As a child, Otha Ellis Bates McDaniel taught himself to play guitar, but he never found one he liked, so he built his own. Soon after, his rectangular-shaped axe with an old TV dial for a volume knob could be heard on radios everywhere as he launched the beat heard round the world. He was Bo Diddley. His handmade guitar is at the Hard Rock Cafe, Times Square. Thousands of other priceless pieces of rock history are at Hard Rock Cafes, casinos, and hotels around the world. To learn more, visit hardrock.com. Don't let it decide, baby, diamond ring.
Little Steven's Underground Garage's coolest conversations, presented by Hard Rock Cafe, hosted by the Mighty Manfred.
This is the Mighty Manfred, and it's time for your coolest conversations podcast, presented by Hard Rock and Little Steven's Underground Garage. Thanks for listening, and please remember to follow and subscribe, rate, and review. Joining me for today's chat is Bob Wojciechowski. Underground Garage fans know he is the lead guitarist in the Insomniacs, but now he's also the lead player in the Doppelgang, Palmyra Doran's backing band, and he plays on their latest single, Lucky in Love, out on Wicked Cool Records, and a recent coolest song in the world. We hear some of it now, followed by my interview with Bob on your Coolest Conversations podcast, presented by Hard Rock and Little Steven's Underground Garage.
Sometimes I think I'm insane.
Listener, this is the Mighty Manfred, and today I have the pleasure of speaking with Bob Wojciechowski. He's the guitarist in New Jersey's Insomniacs, and more recently, he's taken up guitar slinging duties alongside our very own Palmyra Doran and her Doppelgang, and he plays on their new single, which is our coolest song of the world this week, Lucky in Love. How are you, Bob?
I'm doing really well, Manfred, all things considered, you know?
Yeah, well, I got you there. I mean, let's see, we spoke back in 2016, that was our first Coolest Conversations chat. A lot has happened since then. Have you and your loved ones, family and friends all remained healthy?
Yeah, so far, you know, healthy, insane maybe, but, you know, physically we've dodged the bullet so far. So that's great.
Well, that's terrific. Now, how many masks do you have and do you use different ones for different occasions?
We have multiple, I mean, I don't know, myriad of masks, different types. You know, you got the N95s. I think there's an N94 that's floating around the house too. And then you got all your cool cloth ones, you know, so I guess now we're doubling those up, you know, doing our best.
Man, I don't have any N95s or 94s. My things are all cloth, you know, and some of them I think, I don't know, is this... how good really is this? And you're right. You know, before word from Fauci, sometimes I just felt like maybe I should just double these things up because I can't believe the cloth in here is that it's going to be keeping anything from going out or coming in.
We were doing the coffee filter in the mask too for a while and makes it a little bit difficult.
I haven't heard of that.
Oh,
is that a thing? I guess so.
I guess I've just made it a thing.
Wow. Well, in case anyone's not familiar with you and the Insomniacs, you guys are played regularly here in the Underground Garage. It's a trio featuring your brother, Dave. And also, you've got like a new drummer or recently got a new drummer. What's his name?
Yeah, our new drummer is named Pow. He's been with us for, you know, I'd say about a year and a half or so. We're all set to, start working on some new material. But, you know, then everything happened. Everything stopped. So.
Well, we'll talk more about the Insomniacs in a moment. Right now, I really want to focus on how you wound up alongside Palmyra and the Doppelgang.
Well, you know, I've known Palmyra on and off since, geez, I guess like the mid early 90s when we were all playing the same kind of local places in New Jersey and the city and around the East Coast when she was in the Frigs and the Insomniacs shared lots of bills with the Frigs, and over the last several years, we've you know, cross paths playing shows together. And, you know, at various times over the, I'd say the last 10 years or so, you know, that it's, you know, it's come up that maybe, you know, if the opportunity made sense, you know, if she needed somebody to play, you know, it never really worked out up until fairly recently. And my schedule kind of got a little bit more open-ended. Certainly the Insomniacs, we've been on semi-dormant basis. So, you know, I had kind of more time to focus on doing something else, and, you know, everything just sort of clicked, and it's been a hell of a lot of fun for me.
So. You know, she told me that she had had her eye on you for a long time.
Oh, as a guitar player or just, you know,
well, she wasn't specific. I took it to mean as a guitar player. I took it to mean as a guitar player. So you were mentioned playing shows with the Frigs. Can you describe what the Frigs, your female band, was like to anybody who may never have seen them?
Oh, yeah. I mean, you know, it's like, you know, we played so many shows. I'd say, like, you know, mostly like, you know, probably like the Court Tavern in New Brunswick. You know, that was like kind of like the local stomping grounds in New Jersey, you know. Well, I mean, they had their own scene, but, like, you know, most of, like, the bands, like, you know, us, the Insomniacs and the Swingin' Neckbreakers and the Frigs and Sit and Spin was another one. You know, we were always playing places like the Court Tavern. You know, those guys were great. The Frigs were, like, you know, they were badass chick band, you know, like, you know, they had great singing, great fuzzy riffs. And Palmyra was like, badass guitar player, you know. It was always cool to play the shows with them. We had a lot of fun.
So our coolest song in the world this week, Lucky in Love, it's a new single from Palmyra Del Ran and the Doppelgang. We're talking about the Frigs here, and my understanding is that her former bandmate in the band, Mitzi Dodge, I guess that was the stage name, Melissa Roth, maybe that's her real name, that this was a song that she had written. I don't believe the Frigs ever recorded it, though. Do you know?
You know, I believe you are totally correct. I think this is the first time this song's been recorded.
And so how did this shake out with the recording of the song and stuff? So she reached out to you to play, and it was specifically, hey, I need somebody to play guitar and we need to go right in the studio, or she had already courted you to be in the Doppelgang and then this project came up?
It's funny because, like, you know, considering this last year has been like kind of like the lost year, that my sense of time is a little screwed up, but I guess about a year and a half ago was the first show I actually played with Palmyra at some bar in Hoboken. So I've been, you know, playing with the Doppelgang for, you know, I guess maybe a year and a half, maybe even close to 2 years at this point. Probably slightly under, you know. So we played a couple gigs, you know, and then we had it on the back burner that we were going to record the single. Mm-hmm. I think it was originally, I believe it was supposed to be towards the end of, or the very, very beginning of 2020 when we were supposed to go into the studio. I believe, I might be wrong, but I think we were kicked out by a certain other band. That might be your band.
Well, I never heard about that, but it is true that about a year ago, the Woggles were in New York.
Yes.
And we recorded at Little Steven's studio, which is where you guys did these tracks, right?
We did. We did that. So it's funny that, you know, we talk about, you know, you guys recording, and I was supposed to meet up with you guys for drinks, like right around, I guess, you know, end of February when you were recording.
Yeah.
And a week or two later was the last time I was in the city up until the point we started rehearsing for this, to record the single. And I guess that was August or something like that of 2020. We did a couple of rehearsals for recording, and then we went into the studio, I think in October, September, something like that.
Okay.
To record.
And so did you guys all record at the same time, or was it like one person going in with the engineer, Jeff Sanoff?
No. It was real 2020 recording. We all got our COVID tests, went into the studio with our masks, you know, the three of us in the big room separated by a nice distance, in our masks. Palmyra was in the control booth with Jeff recording her bits. And it was safe, but distant.
Well, the single got issued last Friday on the 12th. Was that intended to have a Valentine's Day tie-in, or was that just coincidental?
I believe it was all planned. The grand plan.
Have you guys done any? Are you planning to do any like live streams to promote it?
You know, that's been on the table for a while. Nothing has been firmed up yet. I really hope something like that happens. You know, again, it's like, it's funny, you know, I've really only been in the city like three times since March, you know, and that's coming from a guy who used to go in every day for a day job, you know, it's really strange. So, I'm really hoping we can work that kind of thing out.
So you are amenable to like doing like live stream performances. Have you done any of those yet?
I have not, but I sure would.
Hey, any video planned? Are they going to make a video for the song? Do you know?
I have not heard, Manfred. I've not been privy to that information, but you know, again, I'm all for it, man. I'm working on the treatment right now.
Well, so let's talk some about the Insomniacs. You mentioned the new drummer.
Well, he's from Catalonia. But a good buddy of mine from where I currently live in South Orange, New Jersey, several years ago, I became good friends with him and his wife. And, you know, Joel, who was with us for a long time after our original drummer, Mike, just wasn't able to do things anymore. So this was kind of like, you know, it worked out really well. I mean, Pau and I have been like good drinking buddies, and you know, we would always go to see shows. In fact, one of the first shows we saw was Palmyra at the old Monty Hall in Jersey City.
Oh,
in addition to a couple Woggle shows, if I can blow some smoke up your. we've been good friends for a long time, and just so happens he's a great drummer. You know, so it's all been working out great. We did our first show kind of when Hidden Volume, who did our last 45, which at this point has been several years ago, but they were doing a festival in Baltimore. That was our first gig with Pau. It was a little outdoor festival. That was awesome. And then the last gig we played was very end of 2019, December. I actually did double duty. I played a set with the Insomniacs and then a set with Palmyra. That was, the last shows that we played. Pretty awesome.
That is. So, and where was that show at?
That was Pianos in the city.
Oh, okay. Right. Wow. So it's been over a year. You said you guys were about to have gone into recording with the Insomniacs, were about to go record, and then, you know, the kind of world shut down, or?
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, we had plans that we were going to do a 45, you know, at sometime 2020, early 2020, but, you know, things didn't work out that way. And, you know, we're kind of like Luddites as far as computers and all that. You know, I'm always in awe when I see people who do all these crazy, you know, recordings on their computers and passing around, you know, like either videos or just like the audio back and forth and doing all their overdubs. And it's great that people have been able to, you know, keep creative during this lockdown, but we're not really super savvy with all that stuff. So, you know, Dave, who writes all the songs, he sent a couple sketchy demos several months ago at this point, but we really haven't gotten in very far with that. So hoping that, you know, vaccinations and all that stuff will be able to get back on the scene, you know?
I hear you. It's very similar in the Woggles world to that exact same thing. I mean, we had worked on demos before all this kind of happened. And as we already mentioned, we did the recording there in February a year ago in New York. And that was the last time I saw those guys. In fact, I haven't seen them since. Every month we have a rehearsal that's scheduled, and every month I push it back to the following month, and the studio time that would have taken place the month after that, I push back to the next month. And I've been doing that every month. And I'll be doing that again next week, or maybe I'll go ahead and start making the calls this afternoon after we're done speaking. I've thought about that, you know, trying to record in different places and sending the things back and forth. I really haven't broached the subject with the other guys, but I don't think anybody's really that thrilled with that as an idea, as opposed to just, let's just wait. How do you and the other guys feel about that?
Yeah, you know, I mean, it's totally antithetical to, you know, our normal school of rock and roll recording. You know, everybody's sitting in a room and you're all, you know, trying to get the right take, you know, and then, you know, whatever, you might fix things here and there, but you're relying on the chemistry of, in our case, you know, three guys in a room to get the good take, you know, get the feel. You know, it is a little sterile and weird, but, you know, honestly, I would welcome that opportunity just to actually do something, just to feel like, you know, it hasn't been a total waste. I mean, it's been some nice things, you know, you spend time with your family that you don't get. And, you know, I'm not commuting on the train every day, but.
You miss that. You miss that commute on the train.
I do miss that. Yeah.
I miss some people you get to meet.
That's true. And I'm sure all of them are complying with masks and all that stuff. And it, by the way, I also have to say, you know, I'm not sure the answer to this, but, you know, this is the Coolest Conversations show or part of your program. How many people, am I joining like an elite group of people that have been on the program more than once for Coolest Conversation?
Well, it is an elite group, definitely an elite group of people.
You know, I thought maybe I could use that, like, you know, with my kids to, you know, get some points.
Well, you know, if you're talking about children and what you as their father do, surely you understand that anything your finger touches, it's like King Midas in reverse. It becomes uncool.
Exactly.
Uncool. So speaking of like parent stuff, you know what's happening.
Oh, I do.
Your mom was a teacher, right? A music teacher.
Yeah. She was.
Yeah. So we're talking about Mrs. Wojciechowski. And so one day, this is like years ago, I'm driving in the car and I'm listening to a little Steven on his syndicated show.
Uh-huh.
And he's doing this bit talking about where his teacher from years gone past speaks to him. And I hear the name Mrs. Wojciechowski, and your surname I don't hear quite often. And I just had this weird thought, like, I wonder if there's, I mean, what kind of chance would it be that Bob and Dave's mom was also little Steven's music teacher?
And indeed, that is the case. Yes, in the formative years of, I believe it was 64, 65, 66, something like that. She was his music teacher when he was just starting out on guitar, bringing his guitar to class.
He was bringing his guitar to class?
According to my mom. And of course, you know, this is filtered through, you know, a lady of a certain age. But in her memory, you know, when she was teaching her music classes, she would encourage her students to, you know, if they were learning an instrument, bring the instrument in, you know, and show the class. And indeed, Stephen apparently was just learning to play guitar and brought his guitar into class and showed the kids couple chords, I guess, but, you know, probably
Gloria or something. How old was he at this time?
Well, this would have been, you know, probably it was probably sixth, seventh, eighth, something like that. Grade.
Okay, so it was
formative years. Young punk, Stephen.
Well, first of all, I have to say about your mom.
Although he was a good student, I heard.
As far as your mom goes, she obviously taught her students well and raised her kids right too.
Well, that's true. Very true. But I heard
the dirt on the Stephen in the classroom was that he was a good student, at least as far as the music teacher goes.
That's true. Well, I can't speak to, you know, what he may have done outside of class when he was hanging around with the, you know, the juvenile delinquents or, you know, hanging out. We would call them burnouts when I was growing up, but, you know, they were probably called juvenile delinquents back in that era. So let's just say that that's what he was doing.
Yeah.
Probably with a switchblade.
Well, let me ask you this. Your mom was a music teacher. She and your father pretty supportive of their kids' music ambitions?
Let's say, sure. They bought us our first guitars. They were not particularly into rock and roll, you know, but they bought us our first guitars. It was not their thing. Rock and roll was not their thing. They were of the, you know, Sinatra, that sort of genre.
Have they ever come to any of your gigs?
They have. In fact, one of our bigger shows that they went to see, possibly the first one, was at Bimbo's in California, A Family Affair. So that was cool.
So, they, so you know, where is that? Like in San Francisco?
San Francisco.
Okay. And you played a show out there?
Yeah, we did. We did a tour with the, it was a, you know, billion years ago with the, back in our old Estrus days, your old friends at Estrus, when we did the tour in California with the Nomads and the Mono Men and the Lord High Fixers and the Makers.
Oh, wow. I didn't realize that. That's way cool.
Wicked cool.
Yeah. to quite a phrase.
Yes.
You know, we need to give the B-side to this Palmyra Doran and Doppelgang single, Lucky in Love, a spin. And it's a song titled Who's Been Sleeping Here? I know the Tough Darts did it originally. What's the story on why you guys decided to cover it?
You know, I can't speak to the Palmyra's thought process. I think there were a couple of songs being kicked around, that being one, and I think some other Tough Darts song. Of the other ones that were being kicked around, this one kind of, you know, when I heard it, I was like, I could do something with that. You know, it felt more in my style of music. And I have to admit, you know, like for a guy who's, you know, was brought up in the East Coast and was all into, you know, 70s punk rock and the CBs stuff and all that, I knew the name Tough Darts, but I got to say, I wasn't really that familiar with the band. But, you know, it's a great song. And I think we did an awesome version of it.
Yeah, I agree. What guitar and amp did you use on it?
Well, here's a funny story, Manfred. I can tell you what guitars I played. I believe on that song, I think I was, you know, I COVID purchased Telecaster. I think I was playing through an AC-30. Yeah. I say that because, you know, during this weird COVID period, I didn't even, you know, venture into the control room until everybody else had left for the day. So, you know, Jeff basically worked, you know, the tone controls and everything, just, you know, kind of sight unseen, which was the strangest way to record, but it sounds great.
And let's point out, when you say Jeff, we're talking about Jeff Sanoff, and he was the engineer there at the session.
Yeah.
And you're right. He does have there's at least one AC-30.
I think it might be purple.
Yeah. You know, cause that ties in to Steven's preference of color. There's a lot of purple there in the office and in the studio. I can't recall if there's as much purple in the studio.
I can tell you because I have photos, in the bathroom is purple.
Well, that can be a very inspirational room. You know, that guy from, Status Quo wrote the big hit there in the loo.
And of course, Elvis, which we, you know.
Well, the king passed on to another realm while he was seated on the throne. That's a fact.
That's true.
So you mentioned a COVID Telecaster.
COVID purchase.
COVID purchase, right, okay.
Yeah, you know, as somebody who, for his day job, takes a train every day to New York, you know, for the last year, and that ain't cheap. So, you know, I've saved quite a bit of money not doing that. So I thought, you know what? I'll treat myself. Remember this. Bought myself a nice Telecaster. So I think that was the predominant guitar on both of those songs.
Oh, I see. Okay. So, and what color is the Telecaster?
Oh, it's a nice blue, ice blue metallic, and it has a nice Bigsby on it. So that's great.
Very, very cool. Well, Bob, I want to thank you for being my guest today on our Coolest Conversations.
Thank you, Manfred. Always a pleasure.
Oh, thank you very much. And we got to give that B-side a workout now. Here's Palmyra Doran and the Doppelgang with Who's Been Sleeping Here in Little Steven's Underground Garage. Sleeping Here.
That's Palmyra Duran with Doppelgang in Little Steven's Underground Garage, with the B-side to their latest single, Lucky in Love, out on Wicked Cool Records. This is the Mighty Manfred, and thanks again to the band's lead guitar player, Bob Wojciechowski, for speaking with me today on our Coolest Conversations. Thanks also to Olivia Callahan for producing our podcast. Next time around, my guest will be Tommy Boy. He's the drummer in Stupidity. They're a contemporary garage rock band from Stockholm, Sweden. They have a new single, and we'll find out all about it on your next Coolest Conversations podcast, presented by Hard Rock in Little Steven's Underground Garage.
As a child, Otha Ellis Bates McDaniel taught himself to play guitar, but he never found one he liked, so he built his own. Soon after, his rectangular-shaped axe with an old TV dial for a volume knob could be heard on radios everywhere as he launched the beat heard round the world. He was Bo Diddley. His handmade guitar is at the Hard Rock Cafe, Times Square. Thousands of other priceless pieces of rock history are at Hard Rock Cafes, casinos, and hotels around the world. To learn more, visit hardrock.com. Don't let it decide, baby, diamond ring.